So, is Austin in the recording room? Yeah, gotcha, okay. Hi, Austin. Yeah. How is everybody this morning? I just started getting some kind of cold thing last night. That's why I'm not shaking hands. I feel like I got a little fever coming on, but by that time, it's too late. Mr. O'Neill, can I have you hit the lights? That's a signal. We looked at this last week. But I think it's so fascinating that I like to see it again. It's a computer generated of ancient Jericho. And you know, years and years and years, I pictured one wall around Jericho, but it actually had two walls. And you could see back here, we'll get to it right. We mentioned this, we had a crash course on archaeology last week. Right there, if you can see my red dot, that's the stone, that was piled up stone, a retaining wall basically, because this goes up to the top here. And then there's a red brick wall on top of that, and then a second red brick wall above and back from the bottom one. And so this is an artist's rendition of maybe how the city looked inside with its buildings, flat top roofs, towers or citadels on the outside wall. There's our retaining wall right there. Archaeologists have actually uncovered that, and they've uncovered in certain parts around ancient Jericho the red brick that fell upon itself, is the real Hebrew, fell down upon itself. So what happened to my Bible? Joshua, there we go. The people shout. They had already marched around the city, and the people shout, and those walls fell upon themselves. Right there. So I know that's a clean rendition, but it helps me anyway visualize maybe what happened. Maybe the viewpoint that the Israelites had. And after those walls fell, they actually made probably a rough ramp, but a way to go up into the city, as your text says. And our text is Joshua 6. If you have your digital Bibles or your hard copy Bibles, Joshua 6. We're back to Joshua, part 2 of walking circles around Jericho. And I'll bring up our outline here. View slideshow. So there was the link to what we just saw. Walking circles around Jericho 6, Joshua 6. Last week we actually got specific, even though specific Jerichos are not mentioned in our text. We were asking ourselves what may be possibly some Jerichos in your life. Yeah, we can have the lights on now, Dave. Thanks. If you can still see this, okay. We suggested anger, bitterness, prejudice, fear. Yeah.
Your sound is cutting on and off.
Yeah. That's typical for me. We're having a little problem with this thing. Is it cutting in and out for you too? Prejudice, fear, insecurity about the future. Is that one of your Jerichos? An ominous, figurative spiritual structure that you have to deal with. Negativity, anxiety. Do you have a propensity to criticize, overanalyze, compartmentalize? We suggested last week your Jericho is any attitude that keeps you from joy, peace, or rest.
Can you hear me now, Larry and Ward and Shoemakers? All right. BFF is a social media acronym. It means best friends forever, but we're using it as keys to bringing down Jerichos in our lives. And the first acronym, the B there, stands for believe. Key number one, believe in God's power and presence. We looked at James briefly. Always we're referring back to Joshua 1, where the Lord says, I will be with you. But especially Joshua 6:2, the Lord said to Joshua, this is the commander of the host of the Lord, speaking to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your land with its kings and the valiant warriors. Joshua needed some encouragement, evidently. But they had already crossed the Jordan River and seen the power of God rolling back that Jordan. Joshua is looking at the city, and this commander of the Lord stands in front of them. And wouldn't that be quite the encouragement? See, I have already given this city to you. What's that mean? He's going to be victorious, isn't he? They were going in that land because that land was their inheritance, promised to Abraham years and years and years before. Things are different in Canaan land living. To apply it to us and promised land living, we should encourage one another to live out of our inheritance and not our circumstances. In Psalm 16:6, I believe I have that in your outline, don't I? Psalm 16:6. So the second key is an F, and that stands for fight. Fight, fight, fight. What kind of fight is it? Let's use 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and following. Fight, not with carnal weapons, but with spiritual weapons. So if we move over to 2 Corinthians 10, 4. I've got it. Well, that's not quite. We'll get to 10, 4. But we have spiritual weapons which are mighty in God. I want you to turn to Ephesians 6, 11 for the moment. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes, some of your translations may say wiles, of the devil. Now our English word schemes or wiles is translated from the Greek word methodeias, meaning deceit or craft. And indeed our enemy is crafty. He is wily, we might say. We're bringing this up to impress once again, and we've done it in the earlier chapters of Joshua, that our warfare is spiritual. We are engaged in a spiritual warfare. I don't know how many children of God actually comprehend that and allow that to sink in, that the enemy is real. We're engaged in spiritual battle. Actually, every physical battle that's ever taken place in history is really a spiritual battle. Ultimately, every conflict is a contest with Satan and his forces. You just think about, take God's people, for example, coming out of Egypt. That wasn't just trying to get rid of a physical nation and keep them from chasing them as they went into the wilderness. Really, that was a spiritual battle going along in the background there. And as they moved towards Canaan, they faced Moab and Ammon and Edom and get to Jericho and Ai, Book of Judges. Look at that cycle there in Judges. Round and round. There's a huge battle going on for the hearts of God's people there in Judges. And you say, well, a lot of physical battles over history, has that been evil versus evil? Yeah, there have been evil versus evil, but that's still spiritual battle. Most are good versus evil, and that's the epic of mankind. What's good and right versus what's wrong and unrighteous and evil. So here's our Ephesians 6:11. Beware of the methods of Satan, because Satan is not passive. And he's not going to be fair about it when he goes after you and me and I. But he's active and he's deceptive. Satan has strategies and Satan has designs, so brethren, we need to have strategy. One strategy we can start with is right here in 2 Corinthians 10, 3 and 4, 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Really? We're walking in the flesh, but our war is not a fleshly war. This is what we've been laying out. Our battle is a spiritual battle. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly either. But mighty in God for pulling down what? Strongholds. Some of your versions may say fortresses. That's exactly what Jericho was. So we're getting to the idea of pulling down our Jerichos. Do that by casting down arguments. Some of your versions may say, I think, speculations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity. The context here, Paul is defending the fact that he is an apostle. He has a bunch of enemies that are saying that he is just a low-rate, conniving opportunist who thinks more highly of himself than he ought to. And so I see him actually doing some jabs in here towards his enemy, maybe perhaps referring to them as a high thing that exalts themselves against God and the knowledge of God. Now, just because we don't have enemies like the Apostle Paul, can we use this passage in any way to help us in facing our strongholds, our Jerichos? Do you think we might be able to do that? It talks about strongholds back here. Pulling down, our weapons are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. A stronghold, Paul describes as an argument or a speculation or a high thing that exalts itself. It's a conviction, it's a belief, it's an outlook that attempts to do something. Do you know what that is? Attempts to interfere with truth. A stronghold is a false premise, and that false premise denies God's promises and presence and power and possession. Those are the four P's we started with way back when we started Joshua. In other words, folks, these false premises, these strongholds, want to sever our connection to Jehovah God, and they magnify the problem and minimize God's ability to solve it. That's the problem with these strongholds. Now, don't confuse the stronghold here in this context when you read in Psalms where David describes God as his fortress. We're two different fortresses we're talking about. David's referring to God's being his stronghold and fortress. Here, we're looking at the stronghold of the dark side, we might put it. And we have to be careful that these strongholds don't get a beachhead. Don't grab the beachhead. A stronghold. You know, like the Allies did when they got a little piece of Europe and then they were able to take over Europe. Well, think of that in terms of our enemies. Let's pray and think and meditate upon how we can prevent the dark forces from getting these strongholds from getting a piece of our heart. Here's some other words that other translations use for either argument or high thing. In the King James Version, we have imaginations. The NIV uses pretension. The ESV uses lofty opinion. And the Message uses the phrase warped philosophy, I believe, for argument. Lofty opinion is used in place of high thing. The NIV frames it this way. Anything that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And there's some stronghold indicators. When we'll use these questions to indicate, help us indicate whether we have some of these Jerichos. Do you see nothing but Jericho in your life? Do you feel nothing but despair? Do you think thoughts of defeat? Do you speak the language of impossibility? And does a stronghold have a strong hold on you? If we answer yes to any of those questions, then we're going to start wondering, well, number one, what are some strongholds? Can you give us some examples of strongholds, Givens? Yeah, and we can look at some examples. And then we need to figure out how we can bring those strongholds down, just like the walls of Jericho. God can never forgive me. What's that a stronghold? That's the stronghold of guilt, isn't it? Any of you ever wrestled with guilt? Guilt that needs to be cleaned up, gotten rid of? The Lord, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ and Jesus is your Joshua, he has the power, as we mentioned last week, he has defanged Satan. So he has the power through his blood to continually cleanse you. Get rid of that guilt. I can never forgive that person. That's the stronghold of resentment. There's resentment right there. Is that readable in the back, sort of? How about this stronghold? Bad things always happen to me. That's describing the stronghold of self-pity. And then we have the stronghold of pride, which expresses itself like this. I have to be in charge. Ever grappled with that one? Whether it's in the family, workplace, in the neighborhood, all three. Marriage. I wonder how many marriages have been destroyed because of this. I don't deserve to be loved. What stronghold is that? How about the stronghold of defeat? The fortress of defeat. The fortress of performance puts itself this way. I must be good or God will reject me. The fortress of appearance. I'm as only good as I look. And then we have the stronghold of materialism. My value equals my possessions. So I'm making the assertion here that most Christians do not recognize these strongholds. They do not realize and recognize these strongholds in their lives. So let's ask ourselves, do you live in the shadow of these joy-sucking Jerichos? Do you live in the shadow of these peace-sucking Jerichos? They suck the peace out of us and the joy out of us. God has a different strategy. Joshua 6:6. So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests carry seven trumpets of ram's horn before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, go forward and march around the city and let the armed men go on before the Ark of the Lord. And in the context here, they have a rear guard and they walk once around the city. And they do that for how many days once around the city? 6 days. And the seventh day, they march around seven times and then they're supposed to be quiet that whole time and then shout. And the walls came down. Is that a conventional approach in how to take a city? Can you see Joshua's army? What? As they're marching around. No swords? Well, I think they were armed. We're not going to attack it with arrows or flying spears or no battle cry, no catapults, no battering rams. Again, what kind of warfare is this? This is really a spiritual warfare. And we use spiritual weapons. Back to 2 Corinthians 10:4 here. Our weapons are from God and have, quote, divine power to demolish strongholds. Amen? The way to bring Jericho to rubble and to dust is to believe and fight with these weapons, divine power to demolish strongholds. Do you want to see your strongholds demolished and brought down to rubble? I hope the answer to that is yes. So that brings us to our third key, and that is to focus. How do we focus? Focus on what? Keeping Jehovah, or keeping God, in the center. Give a glance at the devil. Give a glance at the problem, but keep God in focus. Not terribly difficult to say, but it does take some faith to keep God in focus because we have a lot of distractions as we're living the promised land living. Remember, promised land living, representing victorious Christian living, not the attitude of the wilderness. Joshua placed the ark in the middle of the procession. Did you notice that? And they had a front guard and a rear guard. So what exactly does this mean? The ark is also representing God when they crossed the Jordan. Remember how the ark stood right in the middle of the Jordan and it was pushed back? Well, here, the ark is moving around the city and it's in the center. Brethren, what do you think this means? Every activity with Israelites here, the sons and children of God, orbited around whom? Jehovah God. Because that ark represents Jehovah God and his presence with them. We should not attack our Jerichos with blame casting or anger or finger pointing. Those are just excuses. So let's not attack our Jerichos that way. Let's put God on center stage. And remember that our weapons are things like worship and songs and prayer. And you could probably name some more. There are other tools that fit in underneath this. Perhaps scripture memorization. Petition, that's another idea for prayer. Hymns, songs, memorials. And I don't mean just partaking of what we call a communion there. I'm talking about a spiritual agreement with one another, covenant agreement, but especially with the Lord God himself through Jesus Christ. Keeping that in mind, who with whom we've made a covenant and an agreement. Turn off the TV and open up the Bible some more. That's what Givens needs to do. And remember all of the with you promises. I will be with you. I didn't count them up. Maybe that's a project you can do this week. Look, just get on the computer and look at how many with yous are in the Bible. Taking note of the context, make sure it's referring to Jesus or the Lord with you. You'll find several of them here in Joshua, won't you? In the earlier chapters. Here's another tool God offers. That's blow the ram's horn. What in the world is that all about? What in the world? Can you blast your version of the ram's horn? 6:10, Joshua commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout or let your voice be heard, nor let a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I tell you, shout. Then you shall shout." So he had the ark of the Lord taken around the city, circling it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night. And then it describes how they did this continually each day. The silver trumpet in Numbers 10, verse 2, the silver trumpet was to call the people to assemble. But the ram's horn, you know what the ram's horn was, when they blew the ram's horn, do you know what that meant? They were celebrating a victory. So here the Lord is having his people blow the ram's horn, but Jericho's walls haven't fallen yet. What's that mean? There is going to be a victory, right? It's going to be the Lord's victory. And it's interesting. Do not say anything. Don't let a word proceed out of your mouth. I'm taking this to mean no chit-chat, no opinions voiced, no second-guessing, no whining, and no complaining, and no chatting. How terribly difficult would that be for a lot of us? Terribly difficult for me. Given, stop chatting. This is the Lord's battle, and it's not a conventional battle. Here's some more tools from James 4, chapter 7. You know, folks, brethren, your battle with the arch enemy is just as challenging as Joshua's with Jericho. The arch enemy, Satan, may have had a strangle on you for years, and you may have tried everything. Hypnosis, green smoothies, chiropractor, self-help books, renewed discipline. How often do we do that on January 1st, New Year's? I'm going to renew our discipline in this. We term sometimes a pop culture experts, quote unquote. But brethren, what we need to do is to come to our Jericho with God's power, with God on center stage. That's the first F, right? Third F, focus. With Jesus in your heart, and angels in the front of you, and angels in the back of you, and God on center stage. And you come with the hope of complete victory. Not partial victory, not possible victory, but complete victory. And you march like a promised land warrior, a conqueror. Blast your horn. How can we blast our horns? How about singing songs of redemption? Do you have any of those lined up, Kyle? I didn't give you that. Songs of redemption. Or recite and quote scripture of triumph. One author says, marinate your mind with the battle cry of Jesus. It is finished. It is finished. John 19:30. You know what that's referring to? That's Jesus dying. That's kind of gloomy and dark. But what is it followed by? It's followed by an announcement of an angel. He is not here, for he is risen. Brethren, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ, Romans 8:37. James says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The Message puts it this way, so let God work his will in you, yell a loud no to the devil, and watch him scamper. Watch him scamper. He's not allowed in the place where God is praised. I want to read a quick example from an author who tells a story. It's an author and he's a preacher evangelist, I believe. Sometime back, a mother asked me to pray for her 8-year-old son. He was troubled by a constant barrage of images and scary visions. He saw people behind cars and in shadows. The images left him withdrawn and timid. He's 8 years old. They even took his sleep away at night, these images. On the day we met, he appeared defeated. His smile was gone. While his other siblings were confident and happy, there was no joy in his face. His eyes often filled with tears, and he clung to his mother. She had taken him to doctors, but nothing had helped. Would I be willing to pray for him? She asked this author, this evangelist. I told the young boy what I've been telling you, that the devil has no authority over his life. That the real battles are fought in the mind. That God will help us take every thought captive. I told him about the spiritual weapons of worship, scripture, and prayer, and urged him to memorize a Bible verse and quote it each time the fearful thoughts came to mind. And I gave him a tool. Here's the tool he gave him. Quote, reach up with your hand, I urge, and grab the thought and throw it in the trash. So he's giving this little boy a tool to throw those thoughts in the trash in his mind. And as quickly as you do that, replace it with a verse of scripture. We then anointed him with oil and prayed. He's getting that from James. 5 days later, his mother reported great progress. Since last week, the images are gone. He is no longer seeing them. He is doing well in school. He is enjoying reading the book of Genesis. God gave us Psalm 25:5, quote, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. He recites this verse nightly. This is the mother speaking. I believe this has brought him closer to Christ. He uses the strategy of throwing the fearful thoughts away in the trash can. He said when he tried to throw them away, his head would hurt. I asked him what made them go away. He smiled and said, I know God made them go away. And the author says, another Jericho bites the dust. Now we may snicker and snorkel and chuckle and say, that's just coincidence. That kind of thing never happens. Well, brethren, that's why I'm doing these lessons. Do you believe in the power and the presence and the promises of God or not? Keep praising and keep walking around your Jericho. I love this. Therefore, my beloved brethren, this is the context is 1 Corinthians 15, but last verse says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord. Keep walking. And you might say, Givens, I've been walking a long, long time, and I have a lot of Jerichos. Or if you like the figure of David and Goliath, I have a lot of Goliaths running at me. And I've been walking around Jericho a long, long time. You know, Joshua instructed them how many times they were going to walk around and when to shout. But our Joshua, as far as I know, doesn't tell us how long we'll be walking around in faith. Does that mean your faith is faulty? No. Just remember, it's not you alone that brings those Jerichos down. And it may not be in your time frame and as quickly as you would like to get rid of them, or maybe it's faster than you'd like to get rid of them. But we've described some specific strongholds and Jerichos here in this lesson and last week. And by doing that, I recognize that, yeah, you do have to face these strongholds and fortresses in your lives. And it's like we said in the Noah lessons, getting into the ark was not a walk in the park. He had to operate and build and grow his faith. Walking around Jerichos is not a walk in the park. But we have spiritual weapons at our disposal, don't we? If you believe 2 Corinthians applies to us. You may be only steps from a moment like this. Read with me Joshua 6:15. On the seventh day, they arose early at the dawning of the day and marched around the city in the same manner seven times. Only on that day, they marched around the city seven times. At the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said to people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." And we drop down to 20. So the Lord, their people shouted, and the priests blew the trumpets. And when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, the people shouted with a great shout, and the wall fell down flat, fell upon itself, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight ahead, and they took the city. Verse 20. The walls became stepping stones upon which they would climb in to defeat their enemy. So, brethren, here's our BFF. Believe in the promises and power of God. Fight with spiritual weapons. And focus. Keep Jesus center stage. Amen? That's easy to remember. Let's stand and sing the song Kyle selected.